From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our connections with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
Our first guest today is Brent Giles, Chief Sustainability Officer for Powder Corp, which includes Park City Mountain Resort. Brent will talk about Protect Your Playground, a contest looking for your ideas on how we can better protect our natural surroundings and playgrounds.
That's right. Got an idea on how to better preserve our natural surroundings? Forward it to Brent, and you could win up to $2,500. He joins us in the first half of the show to explain the details, and I've got an idea now.
It
involves
gonna
drones.
Going to give us a hint?
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'll fill you in on the details.
Then in the second half of the show, we'll speak with Kevin Emerson. He's the Senior Policy and Regulatory Associate with the nonprofit Utah Clean Energy. He'll be talking about their recently launched Clean Energy Equals Clean Air campaign, what that's all about, and how your actions can make a difference.
That's right. And he'll also give us an update on what's going on with all those clean air bills being considered by the state legislature, which ones have passed and which ones still have a chance. That's in the second half of the show.
Of course, as always, you can join in on today's discussion by posting your questions or your comments to our wall on our Facebook page, KPCW This Green Earth.
The environment, our connections with it, and impacts upon it. It's This Green Earth, and it all gets started right after these words from our underwriters. Stay tuned.
Park City Restore is grateful for the many hands that have made it successful. Your gift of time means more affordable housing services are available locally through Habitat for Humanity. Plus, volunteering at the Restore gives you a first look at the amazing treasures donated for resale. Learn how you can get involved at habitat-utah.org. Click on the big yellow volunteer button. Habitat for Humanity of Summit and Wasatch Counties is a nonprofit organization.
In the cycle of life, we all go through changes, and menopause is one of them. At Intermountain Park City Specialty Clinic, our OBGYNs, Drs. Janine Falk and Lorraine Sabella, care for women at all stages of life. 435-658-7400. Intermountain Healthcare is a nonprofit organization.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak. She's Nell Larson. And joining us in the studio this morning is Brent Giles. He is the Chief Sustainability Officer for Powder Corporation, and that includes Park City Mountain Resort and Man About Town. Oh. Everybody knows Brent. Brent, well, thanks for taking a few minutes. Your busy schedule to join us here in the studio with Nell and me and talk about this program, this initiative you've launched called Protect Your Playground. Give us a little idea what that's all about. And
it's important to talk about it right now because there's only 4 days left.
Oh, okay.
The application period ends on the 21st, so we're gearing down on this. And right now we probably have 20 applications in across all of the powder resorts. And she closes on the 21st, and then we will have all the green teams at the different ski areas look at the applications, and they will choose what sounds the best, what we'd like to support. And then on Earth Day, we'll fund whichever projects have been chosen. So the whole thing with Protect Your Playground is that, you know, we were looking for some way to engage the communities, not just businesses, not just the ski areas, but the entire communities. Schools, individuals, whoever might have some type of a project that they would like to do that they've always wanted to do, but, you know, they just haven't had the money to do it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we say for the greater good, that was the whole purpose of this project. And so all of the ski areas through their social medias and their websites within the Powder family sent this information out to their communities and have asked for applications. You know, what kind of ideas do you have? What would you like to do? How can we help you? And so that's really what it's all about. And, you know, we've done pretty good. Some ski areas have had more applicants than others.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some really interesting ideas out there with these folks.
Okay.
So how many of these projects will you fund? Is it one per ski area?
You know, I felt like this year, being the first year, would be successful if we could fund at least one for every ski area. I think we're going to be able to do that, maybe two per ski area.
Wow.
And that would be fantastic. But everyone that applies, if you go to protectyourplayground.org,
mm-hmm.
and it asks you apply. And then it gives you an option to pick which ski area that you would like to consider your home ski area that you would like to apply with. And you can click on either Park City Mountain Resort or Mount Bachelor or Boreal or Copper Mountain or Las Vegas or Killington and fill out the application. Walk your way through the application. It asks you, what is it you want to do? How would this help protect your playground? How will you know if it's a success? What is a budget you would like? And it's anywhere from zero to $2,500,
right,
you know, to do these projects. And there's some really good stuff out there. And I'm not going to talk about them specifically within the ski areas because the green teams have a lot of work to do to choose. And I don't want to tip it one way or other. But there are many good things out there from transportation companies within communities, auditing their carbon footprints and trying to give ways for them to reduce their carbon footprint. There are education projects that some folks want to do to educate about composting or recycling.
Okay.
There are projects out there for different uses for plastic products and recycling. Geez, they are all over the place.
So, and these are individuals. That's an important thing. These are ideas from individuals, not businesses. This is somebody like Nell or I that might come up with an idea, like my idea to launch drones around the area and look for people who are litter or people who don't pick up dog poop.
That's right.
I've heard that happens every now and then. And then so that's my idea, to have a fleet of drones flying around and protect our playground that way. And then they would take photographs of the
And that would easily just fit within that $2,500 budget.
Well,
I think you're out of that one.
I've got that figured out. I'll get unpaid interns to help build me drones at Caps. Believe me, I have this all figured out. Okay, kidding aside, but that's the idea. These are individuals' ideas that who otherwise, gee, this is a great idea, but I don't have the $500, $800, $1,500 to launch it.
That's really what it is.
That seed money.
That's exactly what it is. And we've had people contact us, and they've been unclear on that. You know, is this for city governments only, or is this for businesses only? And the answer is no. This is for everyone, for you and me. And I would love to see young kids, grade school kids, some of those, if they had some ideas, because, you know, to try to get into the schools is really important to us because, I mean, let's face it, right? They're the future, and me and you, we've had her, you know? So to get some of those young people with new ideas, or even if they're not new ideas, projects to make them feel proud of and feel like they're making a difference. And then with Park City Mountain Resort or our local communities and ski areas, getting behind the projects that we fund to also help market their ideas and bring them along and show people what they've done, you know, and what can be done by individuals in a grassroots movement. I mean, it's where it has to happen. So
who is eligible to apply? It's businesses, it's individuals, it's
nonprofit? No one is not eligible.
All right, sounds good.
But
we like
if
the
you're
sound
under
of
18,
that.
You have to have a parent, you know, or guardian, you know. sign for you, but there's no one. Everyone is eligible.
All right. And so we can find all the details of that on protectyourplayground.org.
That's correct. There's a frequently asked questions section on there as well. You can walk through, and it's easy to do.
And when you say playground, you're talking about kind of literal or figuratively, in a sense, that playground could be protecting playgrounds, but it
absolutely
could be the playground writ large.
This is a global,
right,
out of the box, your playground, whether it's a national forest where you go to play, whether it's your ski area, whether it's your park, it's your playground.
Right. Okay. So, again, it's 4 days, though.
4 days left.
But it's really, the application is pretty straightforward. I went on the site. Like you say, what is your idea? Why is this a good idea? And et cetera.
Yeah, and we ask them, give us, what is your budget? If you want the $2,500, then tell us how you intend to spend that. They've got to think it through a little bit, And that's what we're looking for, a well thought through project that is going to be protect your playground, It's going to have a positive impact on your environment in one way or another. Hopefully it'll grow from how they get started and
right,
move it along,
Right. Who came up with this idea?
Well, I'll tell you what. Between our folks at Powder Enterprises, that would be Krista Perry and Katie Carlson and myself, trying to figure out ways to – now, Krista, her saying is for the greater good. So trying to put that together with my grassroots, wanting to get to people, to the young kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea for me was when we had a group come to me last spring, and they said, look, we would like to be able to offer residential composting to all of the residents in the community, but give them the opportunity to buy composters at a cheap price. And if you could support us with some funding, we would buy all the composters, and then we would have them at Park Silly Sunday and at farmers markets and at other things like that. We would teach people about composting. We would let them purchase these composters at a much reduced rate because they'd already bought them and they were going to offer them for that. They sold every one.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what individuals or small groups can do if they just have a little bit of funding. A good idea, just need a little funding to help it along.
Do you have an idea how these applications will be judged? Is there a different parameters? Are they innovative? Are they do they reach a wide audience? Are they educational versus are they product based? Do you have a sense of how you what you're looking for?
Well, the answer to that is yes.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, because there are so many different things that the projects that we're seeing so far, they touch so many different people in different ways. From a lot of it's educational, but effective at the same time. And, I mean, as far as on-the-ground projects, an efficiency project or most everything has to have some type of an education thing with it. So if you do a project, you need to be thinking about how will you tell people about this?
Yeah.
What good is it going to do? And so these are going to be judged, on a wide number of things. And then when you look at the project at the end of the day, does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
To us, our green teams are the ones that are going to judge this. They've been out in the world a bit, and they can look at the budgets, and they can look at if these projects are really feasible, if they're logical, or just pie-in-the-sky stuff. So we'll choose things that really look like they can be done, and really have an impact. So
okay.
Who knows what that might be.
Right. Okay, but in any case, 4 more days, The application cuts off on the 21st.
21st, we're done.
And then you'll evaluate all the applicants and select a winner on Earth Day.
On Earth Day.
And we'll have the winner. If there is a winner in the Park City area, we'll have them on the show.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
How about that?
Yes.
Is that a deal?
That's a great deal.
Sounds good.
That's our contribution. Sure, my drone. My drone litter protection.
Oh, your drone. I don't know, big brother. I don't know.
It's, we'll give it a nice happy name, you know, super happy.
The cleanliness drone.
There you go. No.
That's also kind of creepy. I don't know.
Well, that sounds kind of creepy to me. I can see somebody with a shotgun taking out their drone.
Well,
we're nodding along.
We'll engineer that out.
So we want to hear a little bit more about, you know, your position as a whole. We know that you're Chief Sustainability Officer for Powder Corp. What does that mean?
I don't know. I've been trying to figure that out for a couple of years.
For his years now.
I can't even figure out what sustainability means. That is such a big, big word, you know, when you think about that.
Right.
What does it mean? You know, so basically what happened with me is I was the director of operations at Park City Mountain Resort. And then in 2005 or 6, somewhere in that area, there was a decision made that we needed to focus a lot on our carbon footprint and things that we could do to be more sustainable and help out our environment a little bit. So at that point in time, I was the director of operations at Park City Mountain Resort and also the director of environmental for Powder. So that meant that's when I started doing carbon audits for all of the ski areas, getting their carbon footprint down, looking at all of the facilities and setting goals for reducing our energy use and our carbon footprint. So that went.
And remind us how many facilities and resorts you have.
There are 9 resorts, and then there are 2 standalone campuses, Woodward campuses. So you've got 9 ski areas, and you know, and that included the smaller ones like Soda Springs and Pico out with Killington.
Mm-hmm.
And then these 2 standalone campuses of Woodward's are big facilities. One's in Pennsylvania, and one's in Tehachapi, California. Then we have a Woodward. Just a small, you could say, I like 50,000 square foot building at Boreal and one at Copper Mountain. These, and hopefully one in Park City here soon. It would be fantastic to have one here in Park City. But these are action sports training camps, and you go there to learn everything from gymnastics and cheerleading to, they've got terrain parks, skateboard parks, mountain bike parks. I mean, it's just unbelievable. You need to look at these facilities online and see what's there. They're on the big campuses, there are I don't know how many buildings, and the campers go there. They schedule to be there a week at a time or so throughout the summer, and they're busy. And it's really something to see to be at one of those camps when they're in the middle of their busy period, and there's just – I mean, there's so much stuff going on. There's kids going every which way and learning these things, and it just makes you wow. It's intense.
Okay, but your role as Chief Sustainability Officer is looking.
Oh, we're
at
back
carbon,
to that.
The carbon footprint, the carbon carbon consumption and intensity of those facilities.
Exactly.
So I
have done the carbon footprint of all of those facilities. We've have green teams then. At every ski area, and those green teams meet on a monthly basis. I try to get to each ski area at least once a quarter.
Mm.
So that keeps me moving. I mean, by the time you've gone through 9, you know, once a quarter, it's been 90 days since you was at the one before the first one. And you start over. But each one of these ski areas, as far as energy reduction and monitoring that is concerned, they all have tracking in place where they track every single building, every meter, every vehicle, their fleets, all consumption from natural gas, propane, diesel, gasoline, electricity, everything that they use, water.
Right.
And all of the different departments within the ski areas, from snowmaking to grooming, building maintenance. I mean, every one of them. And they all know what their footprint is. They can all track it month by month and compare it to the previous year, same month. They can identify whether they're getting better or worse. And at the same time, they are always looking for more projects that they can do for energy savings. So I just came back from Copper Mountain. I was there last week. They're busy now looking at some more lighting projects. They've just about done all they can. They have an audit going on there at this point in time to audit all of their facilities with a professional group to see where we can go next. Park City here, we just did a lighting project in the underground parking garage. That went from 175-watt metal halide lights to LEDs. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, the savings was unbelievable. It went from, well, some of the circuits in there went from 20-plus amps down to 6 amps.
Wow.
To me and you, thinking about kilowatt hours, that project should save about 330,000 kilowatt hours annually.
330,000
wow.
And yes. Using our This Green Earth rule of thumb, it's about 1 pound of coal per kilowatt hour. That's 330,000 pounds of coal.
Yeah. Well, using my carbon ratio for Utah Power, it's 1.5 pounds.
Okay. You get
1.5 pounds for Rocky Mountain Power says they think they're going to get under 1.5 pounds this year. We'll see. But that's amazing. So, you know, to be able to save that kind of money first, we're going to save
absolutely
over $20,000 a year in energy costs, right?
Yeah.
We're going to save 400,000 pounds of carbon dioxide mm-hmm. that we'll avoid. We took advantage of Rocky Mountain Power's program to where we've been incentivized to the tune of $102,000. So the project cost, listen to this. This is unbelievable. The project cost $137,000. Now, that's a lot of money, right?
Yes.
We get back $102,000 from Rocky Mountain Power.
How often does that happen?
Well, gotta love your power company paying
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
But this is something everybody does not know.
Yes.
Is that every one of us are paying on Rocky Mountain Power's bill. There's a fee there. It's the customer energy efficiency fee or something like that. There's a line for that. And every one of us pay that. Well, if we do energy efficiency projects, we get that money back. We don't have to pay that.
Right.
If you don't do them, they put it in their pocket and have a nice day,
right?
Right. A big power user like the resorts or other manufacturing type of people that pay a big amount – on a monthly basis, if they'll do these efficiency projects, if that line item zero until they pay back the amount they incentivized.
No brainer.
Yeah.
So quick question in the last minute here. You know, you talked a lot about doing the tracking and everybody understanding their carbon footprint and knowing what it is. Is knowing and understanding your impact the biggest part of the battle? You know, is that the hardest part? And then once people know, do you find that they want to improve it on their own, or is that something that you really have to push?
The good thing about my position is that, yes, you have to know what it is. You got to measure, monitor, and manage, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then for me, it's being able to go to all of the different ski areas and then get them to trust me, for me to trust them, for them to come with some thoughts, some projects, and that you can fund them. And that they can see the success of that, and then it starts to snowball. And they have ideas. Just all of a sudden, you've got $6 million worth of projects and 52 cents to do it with. You know, I mean, it's really, really great.
Or $2,500.
Or $2,500 for Protect Your Playground.
Internal Protect Your Playground.
It's really, really great.
Well, Brent, wish we had some more time to chat
Me
about
too.
Your efforts, but we'll stay in touch again. Protect Your Playground is the initiative. It's protectyourplayground.org is
yes.
the website. Go there. Fill it out with your ideas on how you can protect the playground in writ large, not just your area, but the city as a whole or so, your area as a whole. And Earth Day, the winners will be announced.
That's right.
And we'll have the winner here talk about their idea. Thanks again, Brent.
Thank you.
Chief Sustainability Officer for Powder Core. Always a pleasure to chat with you, and we'll stay in touch.
Very good. Thanks
a
million.
Thank you.
Let's take a break for some underwriters. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Kevin Emerson. He is with Utah Clean Energy. It's This Green Earth. Stay tuned.
I'm John Wells.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peake.
Join us for Cool Science Radio Thursdays at 9 a.m.
From the discovery of new dinosaurs to the science of an avalanche.
From the secret technology behind Facebook to nanotechnology.
Deciphering science and tech in an entertaining, amusing, and accessible way.
It's Cool Science Radio. If we understand it, so can you.
Thursdays at 9 a.m. only in Park City, only on KPCW.
Brought to you by Peak Art and Frame.
Proudly supporting KPCW, Cushman & Wakefield Commerce offers commercial real estate services, including property management and valuation, for companies and investors throughout the Intermountain West. Located at Kimball Junction in the Park City Tech Center, we can be reached at 435-575-5600 or online at comre.com.
Hi, this is Steve Roney with Prudential Utah Real Estate, a proud supporter of KPCW. With more than 100 sales associates and 14 gallery or ski-in offices in Park City, Prudential Utah can help you with your residential or commercial real estate needs. More information at pru-utah.com or with the Prudential Utah mobile search app.
Park City Restore is grateful for the many hands that have made it successful. Your gift of time means more affordable housing services are available locally through Habitat for Humanity. Plus, volunteering at the Restore gives you a first look at the amazing treasures donated for resale. Learn how you can get involved at habitat-utah.org. Click on the big yellow volunteer button. Habitat for Humanity of Summit and Wasatch Counties is a nonprofit organization.
Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson, and that's Chris Cherniak across the board.
Right.
And we are back with our guest for the second half of the show. We'll be speaking with Kevin Emerson. He's a senior policy and regulatory associate with the nonprofit Utah Clean Energy. And we'll be talking about their recently launched Clean Air campaign, as well as some of the clean air legislation that's in the works right now. So, Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, let's start with this campaign, Utah Clean Energy Equals Clean Air Campaign. Give us a little idea what it's all about.
Great. Well, in partnership with UCARE, we're working to bridge the gap in public awareness about the connection between air quality and the energy we use at home and at work. While the main focus of air quality is rightly on transportation, cutting our energy consumption at home and at work can make a significant impact, too. So that's really the focus of the campaign. Just to give you kind of a little bit more background, pollution from our homes and businesses and our other day-to-day activities is known as area source pollution. And area source pollution makes up about 32% of the pollution that contributes to, you know, bad air quality days. The good news, and actually, by the way, the Utah Foundation did a poll recently that found that most people polled thought that number was about half. So instead of just about a third of the total pollution comes from area sources, that most people thought it was, you know, 10 to 15%.
Right.
So it just represents that gap that we're trying to address.
So area source pollution, again, specifically is how I generate pollution in my car by consuming natural gas and heating my home, let's say, my fireplace, things like that?
Yeah, all the kind of day-to-day activities at home, at work. We're not talking about the big industrial point sources, but the kind of day-to-day activities that we do at, you know, home, businesses, heating our home, heating our water, fireplaces, exactly. Okay. And the good news is that there are simple and low and no-cost actions that we can all take right now. And really the focus should be on reducing natural gas consumption, especially if you have an older furnace or an older boiler, since natural gas combustion contributes to the formation of these criteria air pollutants that are a problem.
That's a good point that a lot of times we don't overlook the fact that natural gas in the form of heating our homes actually is contributes, because when we burn natural gas, we ourselves are little power plants. We're giving off CO2, hopefully just CO2 and not unburned methane. But that's what we have a little stack. That's what comes out of our stack, CO2.
Yeah, and you know, I think the emissions that are the biggest problem are nitrogen oxides and VOCs, or volatile organic compounds. But you're right. Just, you know, it's right at home when we use it to, you know, in our natural gas hot water heater or a furnace or boiler. It's something that we have direct control of. So, you know, there are things that we can do right now. Simple things such as just turning down the thermostat or turning down the temperature gauge on your hot water heater, to, you know, making sure your home is sealed well so that warm air isn't leaking out of, you know, the gaps in your home and you need to therefore heat it more. Or, you know, making sure your attic and walls are insulated effectively. And the win-win is that this also reduces your bills and saves money.
Mm-hmm.
So in this campaign, are you also including, you know, car use and vehicle travel?
You know, the focus of our campaign is really on connecting the dots between air pollution and what we can do with these area sources emissions, like I mentioned, that are really the way we use energy and especially natural gas at home and at work. Since there's so much focus, like I said before, rightly so, on vehicle emissions, since it's more like, you know, upper 50% to 60%, that's important. But yeah, really, the focus of our campaign is really connecting the dots between air pollution and what we can do at home or at work.
So what form is this campaign taking? Is it online? Where do we go to learn some more information about this?
Well, we have a helpful list of steps on our website, utahcleanenergy.org. If you go to utahcleanenergy.org/how-2, you can go to our how-to web pages. And we do have a how-to web page dedicated to cleaning the air through reducing energy consumption at home. So that's one way we're working on it, is really just putting the information out there through our website. We're also helping connect the dots on this issue by coordinating with local businesses to share these kinds of energy savings tips with their employees to really make sure this reaches the most amount of people. And employers are always looking for information that would be of interest to their employees. So we're working with our local business partners to make sure that they have that information to share with their employees as kind of a service for them to provide. And that's going well.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I did at home this back in the fall was do a better job at kind of sealing up my place. I have old windows, more importantly, very old sliding glass doors that literally had gaps. I could almost
see
through.
Right through them. Yeah,
it was that bad. I had like a wind chill effect. I didn't have a temper. I have a wind chill effect at night. So I did a better job at sealing that up without the details. And I spent, I'm not kidding you, less than $20 on some insulation and some foam, et cetera. And I have saved so far these past 3 months about 15% on my natural gas bill, which totals somewhere around $85 so far this winter.
Congratulations.
Year over year.
Good work, Chris.
Yeah, but those are the simple things, and it
exactly
didn't cost me that much money or time.
You've already paid it back.
I paid it back and more so. And that money that, like you say, that money that I save, it doesn't go into like some offshore account in the Caymans. You know, it's an extra $70 or so that I use to spend to buy things locally. So, there's a ripple effect in connections. So there you go, Kevin. There's my example.
Great, great example. And, you know, even relatively new homes, it's estimated that about 20% of the energy used to heat and cool the home is just simply wasted, because there are all those gaps and spaces for warm air to leak out of. So it's a perfect example what you said. It's a great place to start, and it has, you know, opportunities to reduce
and a payback
impact on air pollution, and it has a payback. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
So, Kevin, are you going to attempt to you know, record the amounts of energy that people save? Are you asking people to get involved in any way, or are you just kind of putting the information out there?
At this point, our focus is really making sure that people have the information that they need to know that, oh, well, you know, we shouldn't overlook how we use natural gas and other energy sources at home that contribute to the air quality issue. That's really our focus right now. It's, you know, that's something we have considered, but we're really starting right now with just making sure that people have the information they need to, you know, be informed and start taking action.
Okay. Well, again, that's the website, Utah Clean Energy. Where do we go to learn more about that?
UtahCleanEnergy.org. And if you go / to our how-to section, then you can find a helpful energy efficiency how-to list that gives you a whole bunch of ideas about how you can get started today.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, we'll get that up on our Facebook page for our listeners to reference.
And also Great. On that website is a nice summary information about some of the pending air quality or energy saving bills that are right now pending in the state legislature. Do you happen to have any updates on what's going on with them?
Well, yeah, I'd love to give you a couple of updates on some of the priority bills that we're tracking. The first that would be probably of most interest to your listeners is Representative Powell's House Bill 110. Let me pull up the name. House Bill 110, Renewable Energy Amendments, is mm-hmm. the name of the bill. It's actually going to be heard in committee this afternoon, 2 o'clock, in room 450 of the state capitol. What this bill would do is it would provide another opportunity for basically for residents and small businesses to access greater amounts of renewable energy through a system called community choice aggregation. And really what this bill would do would be to allow municipalities and counties to purchase renewable energy on behalf of its community and then supply that electricity to residents, small commercial customers who opt in and you know want to purchase renewable energy through that mechanism.
So
what it does is it really enables greater customer choice. If customers really want to buy clean energy, this is another option to give them that choice.
Okay. So opportunities to use the volume to kind of leverage the system and economically purchase large-scale kilowatt hours as a community whole or as a group whole versus individuals. Right now, you can't do that?
Exactly.
You can't do that right now?
Right now, we're not able to do that in the state, and this would change the policy to allow communities on behalf of their residents and community members, that is, allow municipalities and counties, these local governments, to kind of step into this and provide a service that will help help the residents and small businesses mm-hmm. accessing the electricity to this greater amount of clean energy that more than they're able to access right now because it isn't allowed right by law.
Okay.
So earlier in the session when Chris and I were talking about, you know, upcoming legislation, I think there were 16 or 17 bills that were sort of out there in various phases. So what's the status of that now? You know, how many are still out there and what are some of the other bills that we're looking at?
Well, there are still a great number of air quality-related bills out there. I would say a dozen or more is definitely a good count. There are several that we're tracking and being involved in a variety of ways. A lot of them deal with policies that enable greater use of electric vehicles, especially in the Wasatch Front. Electric vehicles have a tremendous air quality improvement potential because there aren't any tailpipe emissions.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several bills that that would support greater use of electric vehicles across the state, from just some really simple technical changes to state policy to clarify that if someone installs an electric vehicle charging station and wants to resell that electricity, just making it clear that they shouldn't be treated like a public utility. They shouldn't be regulated like a utility for simply reselling electricity through these electric vehicle charging stations. It's being sponsored by Representative Patrice Arendt and Senator Okerlund. There are a couple of bills that deal with providing financial incentives. One bill sponsored by Representative Snow just passed a committee last Wednesday, and it would increase the state tax credit offered by the state of Utah for the purchase of new electric vehicles to up to $2,500. It would make it equal to the current incentive available for the purchase of compressed natural gas vehicles.
What about the bill that would give the state the opportunity to redefine air quality standards? Right now, they just adhere to federal standards and kind of default to them. There is a bill recommending that the state be allowed to define air quality standards, or let the Division of Air Quality do that. That one seems like it would be have a tough go. Any sense of the status of that one?
You know, I wish I had the status of that right off the top of my head, but I don't, unfortunately. But you're right. I mean, it's an important approach that recognizes that the state has a pretty unique challenge, and that the state should be given the opportunity to, through its Department of the air quality boards and the agencies that handle these issues, that we should really be able to look at Utah-specific solutions that may be, above the federal minimum requirements for air quality.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this is a state that always thinks that it can do a better job than the federal government in most areas, except when it comes to air quality. They just
environmental
seem
issues to
back
in
off.
General, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little interesting irony there.
There is an irony.
Yeah. Well, there was one that last week or so at least came out through the Senate, was approved in the Senate, that said that the state will begin to purchase high efficiency, otherwise say electric powered vehicles, as part of the state fleet. They'll start to ramp up the purchase and replacement of existing gasoline or diesel powered vehicles. That still has to go through the House, but at least it's baby steps. It's not a lot.
Yep.
It's baby steps, but it does set an example, and it's a good way of the state kind of setting the example, like, this is what we're doing. Perhaps in the business and other organizations with fleets should consider it too.
You're exactly right. It's a way that the state can lead by example. Senate Bill 99 is the bill. It's sponsored by Senator Jenkins and Representative Froehr. Natural gas state vehicle requirements is the bill name. And specifically what it does is it sets a numerical goal. It says that 50% of the state's fleet that are used for transporting passengers need to be clean fuel, clean air vehicles.
Yeah.
We're excited to see this. It has actually passed the House committee, so it'll be going to the House pretty soon. After the whole House votes on it, then it'll be just on its way to the governor. So it looks like that's moving pretty quickly, which we're glad to see.
So moving on from legislation a little bit and looking at the bigger picture, this is something Chris and I revisit from time to time, but what does the state of Utah's energy profile look like, and how much of our energy is what you guys would consider clean energy, and what sources are those?
Great. That's a great question, and something that I don't have the exact numbers right at my fingertips, but I can tell you that there's a few ways you can answer that question, and it all depends on how you slice the pie. If you look at just the electricity that's generated in the state versus the electricity that's consumed in the state, the answer will vary a little bit. We're still pretty early, even though we've seen great developments and new additions of large and small rooftop renewable energy systems across the state. We're still at a pretty small percentage. I think we're looking at under 5% of our electricity coming from clean renewable energy, such as geothermal, solar, and wind. So we have a long way to go, and most of our electricity comes from, number one, burning coal, and number two, burning natural gas. So we're still reliant on these really large power plants, and we will be, for some time to come. But we are making positive steps forward. We're still at a pretty small number, however.
Right, but I, But as we understand, the trend seems to be that coal is decreasing in its percentage. Rocky Mountain Power is retiring the plant in Helper sometime perhaps this year, building another natural gas-fired unit down at their lakeside generating station. So there's some encouraging things, not so much in the area of renewables, because they also say they don't have any plans to build any additional wind farms or solar farms over the next 10 years. But a positive trend, and also a positive trend in the fact that consumption is going down.
I was just going to mention that. First of all, that solar and wind are the fastest growing sources of electricity generation. So even though they're growing from a fairly small percent, they are seeing incredibly rapid growth. But the point you made, reducing consumption, really we need to think about energy efficiency as an energy resource in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
From the utility perspective and the kind of the state policy and even federal perspective, utilities look at investing in energy efficiency, or at least they should, and many are, looking at investing in energy efficiency as a way to they're comparing energy efficiency against these more traditional resources, a new natural gas plant, potentially even renewable energy plants. We want to see, and we're happy to see it happening, that energy efficiency is being recognized as the first fuel that we should be investing in, because it's cheapest, it's cleanest,
mm-hmm.
it's available today, and it has these returns to individual homeowners and business owners, but also everyone who pays an electricity or a natural gas bill, because it's the cheapest form of energy we have available.
Right, and we can all take advantage of it and do something about it on an individual basis, a family basis, a business basis, and we can do it right now. And that's critical. Hey, Kevin, we got to run to Kevin Emerson. He's the Senior Policy and Regulatory Associate with Utah Clean Energy. Again, the website?
UtahCleanEnergy.org, and you can find a link from our homepage if you want to download our legislative matrix and see what bills are moving forward this session.
Great. It's a great website. And thank you again for taking the time to chat with us on This Green Earth this morning.
Thank you both so much.
All right.
Have a great day.
Thank you, too.
Thank you.
Let's take a break for some underwriters. When we come back, we've got a couple of news items.
That's right. And I've got a comment from a listener that I'm excited to share with you.
You don't want to miss it. It's This Green Earth.
Every woman is unique. That's why Park City Specialty Clinics, OBGYNs, take a personal approach to the care they offer women of all ages, from adolescence through advanced maturity. Obstetrics, gynecology, and breast health are among many services they offer. The website is parkcityspecialty.org. Intermountain Healthcare is a nonprofit organization.
Proudly supporting KPCW, Cushman & Wakefield Commerce offers commercial real estate services, including property management and valuation, for companies and investors throughout the Intermountain West. Located at Kimball Junction in the Park City Tech Center, we can be reached at 435-575-5600 or online at comre.com.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, weekly talk show on environmental issues. Chris Cherniak, Nell Larson, and we got a few minutes, a couple of news, but we got a comment.
Yeah. I have to share this because, Chris, you'll
Breaking
be particularly
news.
Interested. This has to do with your comment on drones. Bill Riley says, check out RC Test Flight on YouTube, local park for the kid that builds inexpensive drones with cameras. This may be the secret to the success of your application.
Environmental drones.
To protect your playground.
They're just monitoring the environment. They're doing good.
And that's right. And they will shoot you with a BB gun
they'll take a picture of you littering or while your dog poops and you don't pick it up. And then that photo will be forwarded to the park record, who will be more than – they will be gleeful to post your picture.
I don't know
about
that.
Their subscriptions will go up 200%.
Will it be next to the adorable animals at Ferberbia? There will be
And then it will be scofflaw dogs.
Yeah,
poop right – so, okay. So there's – Drones,
a.k.a. I think the name of the company is StratusProductions.com. So we'll have to check that out. Thanks for your comment.
Thanks for listening, too. we got a few minutes, and I wanted to – we'll call this – let's put things in perspective moment.
Yeah, this kind of to me seems like the radio version of an infographic.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it. You know, back east, they're having one of the coldest and wintriest,
snowiest
winters in decades. Okay. And of course, that's where all the media is. And some of them are taking advantage to trot out the usual, what global warming, look at what's going on here. So what I thought, it's like, well, how much of the Earth's surface is actually taken up by the East Coast of the U.S.? So you can actually go out and did a little research. First, the Earth's surface, entire Earth's surface, is 197 million square miles.
Okay? 197 million square miles.
Write that down.
I'm writing it down.
And then the U.S., the continental U.S., 48 contiguous states take up about 3.1 million square miles. So now what is that?
3.1
of 197
000 miles squared.
Okay, so what percentage of that? That's roughly, it's not even 2%. Right? 1% of 197 miles, 1.9. Okay.
Yep.
Now, the East Coast, of course, east of the Mississippi is even less. So the point of all this, the East Coast,
as defined from where to where?
Everything from east of the Mississippi.
Okay.
To northern border, all the way down to Florida.
So that's a generous definition.
Yeah, generous.
Yeah.
Thank you. Very generous definition.
You're always so generous.
Less than 1% of the Earth's surface. Okay? So what is happening on 1% of the Earth's surface is not reflective of the entire planet's goings on. Okay? So let's put that in perspective. Heck, if you want to throw in part of Canada, who's also probably having a snowy, cold weather. You know, maybe it's 1.5%. But again, it's a very small portion.
But did you do the population numbers? What percent of the our population?
World of our global population?
Global or
East
national
Coast,
population.
And of our media?
Yeah.
Well, the population, no. But I'm sure it's more than
1%. That's for next time.
It's probably about 50 million people on the East Coast. But there's 7 billion on the planet. So it's still a very small percentage.
Still a small
Unfortunately,
percentage.
Again, that's where the media is. That's where our politicians are.
Right.
And when they step outside and they have to shiver, then
that's
what
we hear
global
about.
Warming.
Okay. But these things are taking place all over the globe. So not to discount the crazy weather.
There is crazy weather going on elsewhere. But about what are we having out west? We're having an unusually dry
drought
and relatively warm
winter.
And you know that, and you know what? We'll talk more about that. Well, next month when we have Brian back in to give us our quarterly update from the National Weather Service. So
that's
anyway,
right.
that's our little news item. Put things in perspective there for you on weather. Let's take we got to stay one more break for underwriters and we'll come back and wrap up. It's This Green Earth.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided by Longrimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-LAW.com. Brett Stimson, Mortgage Assistant for Home Purchases, 801-201-3484. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Welcome back to This Green Earth. We are here to wrap up another
yes.
week's show. And we'll start by telling you what we're going to talk about next week. So next week, you may have seen that there's a Chipotle, the, you know, food
restaurant
company has released a series of they call them satires about the current food system. And this was covered in the New York Times and a couple other interesting places. And so we'll be talking with both their marketing specialist, who's been focusing on these pieces, as well as a food systems specialist from the company to talk about what they're doing. And then in the second half of the show, we'll be speaking with author Fred Pierce, who's going to be talking about his article on the impact of television on population, access to television on population.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's a great link.
Yeah.
All right. Let's thank our underwriters for whom this show would not be possible. They include Jones, Waldo, Holbrook, and McDonough.
Republic Services.
Habitat for Humanity's Restore.
Rocky Mountain Power.
San Francisco Design.
And Prudential Utah Real Estate.
And Vail Corporation is one of our
newest
underwriters. We're going to have them on the show in a couple of weeks. Thanks again for joining us. And remember, this is KPCW Park City, only in Park City, only on KPCW.
There it is.
Yeah, thank you. Now, we'll see you next week.